Greetings and welcome to the Circuit Rider Broadcast. Today, this is going to be on Chapter 3, and I'm going to go ahead and read this chapter, and then I've got a big outline that I want to finish off with. In Joel Chapter 3, we're going to begin reading in verse 1. For behold, in those days... Now remember that in this chapter here, we have this outlined as the judgment of the nations at the end of the tribulation period. This is the prophecy. This is what's going to be taking place. For behold, in those days and in that time when I shall, notice, shall is future, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead with them there. Now, by the way, that's over there near Jerusalem there. And it says, I will plead with them there for their people and for my heritage, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. You notice how the Lord, speaking through Joel, says that they parted my land. You know, anybody that absolutely, any of the nation's leaders that try to tell Israel what to do with their land, you know, and so forth, they're messing around with God and God's judgment. If you remember Katrina and some of the other judgments, why that happened. And they have cast lots for my people and have given a boy for an harlot and sold a girl for wine that they might drink. Yea, and what have ye to do with me, O Tyre and Sidon, and all of the coast of Palestine? Will ye render me a recompense? And if ye recompense me swiftly and speedily, will I return your recompense upon your own head? Because ye have taken my silver and my gold, and have carried it into your temples, my goodly pleasant things. The children also of Judah and the children of Jerusalem have ye sold unto the Grecians, that ye might remove them far from their border. Now, in short, you know, the Grecians are referred to the Greeks and Gentiles, so I just so that we get that covered. Continuing reading here in verse 7, behold, I will raise them out of the place whither ye have sold them, and will return your recompense upon your own head. And I will sell your sons and your daughters into the hand of the children of Judah. They shall sell them to the Sabines, to a people far off. For the Lord hath spoken it. Proclaim ye this among the Gentiles. Prepare war. Wake up the mighty men. Let all of the men of war draw near. Let them come up. Beat your plowshares into swords, and your pruning hooks into spears. Now, we see that in another place, in Isaiah chapter 2, which see, in Genesis, or Isaiah chapter 2, it says in verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Notice that that's reverse over in Isaiah, compared to what it says over here in Joel, where Joel says, beat your plowshares into swords. That's in a preparation for war. Over in Isaiah chapter 2, saying the same thing except reverse. Why, that'll be in the millennium. There'll be no more war. So grab a hold of that. In verse 11, assemble yourselves and come, all ye heathen, and gather yourselves together round about thither, cause the mighty ones to come down, O Lord. Let the heathen be wakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat. For there will I sit to judge all the heathen round about. Notice that? I mean how God says and prophesied, there will I sit to judge all of the heathen round about. Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get ye down, for the press is full. The fats overflow, for the wickedness is great. Multitudes, multitudes, in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near, in the valley of decision. The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Boy, there's some references to that. You remember that? And then it says, the Lord also shall roar out of Zion, utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake. But the Lord will be the hope of his people and the strength of the children of Israel. So shall ye know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall no strangers pass through her any more. I mean, this is going to be the end. I mean, after God comes down, Revelation chapter 19, on white horses. I mean, we're going to read several verses of Scripture here after I finish reading this. And you'll see the idea of the day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine, and the hills shall flow with milk, and all of the rivers of Judah shall flow with waters, and a fountain shall come forth of the house of the Lord, and shall water the valley of Shittim. Egypt shall be a desolation, and Edom shall be a desolate wilderness, for the violence against the children of Judah. You see, the nations that go against Israel, God's chosen people, I mean, they're going to come to naught. Judah shall dwell forever, Jerusalem from generation to generation. For I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed, for the Lord dwelleth in Zion. Oh, listen, you know, God has a plan. And you know, God has an eternal plan for the children of Israel. And so you better not touch the children of Israel, because those are God's chosen people. Now remember here that we were talking about the valley of Jehoshaphat. And that valley is adjacent to the city of Jerusalem. We see this in Joel chapter 2 and chapter 3 verse 2 and verse 12. And also we see another portion of Scripture there where the name is not the same, although it most probably is the same, in Zechariah and chapter 14, why the Scripture here talks about it in verse 2. It says, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses raffled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from that city. And that's talking about the battle of Armageddon for sure. Remember, we had talked about that before. But we also see here, as we continue on studying the Scriptures here, we have another reference here, and it's found in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18. And remember, we're talking about the Valley of Jehoshaphat here. And this could be a reference to the same valley. Why, in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18, it says, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name. And it is called unto this day Absalom's Place. Now, when it says, which is in the King's Dale, you know, you look up your words and do your word study, and the King's Dale, which is in the King's Dale, why, that is a low place between hills. It's a vale or a valley. And you see, it very well could be here, you know, where the Valley of Jehoshaphat. And it is obviously there close to Jerusalem. We do know that. But anyway, as we go ahead and continue now, I want to show you some things here. Why I've got we have read and studied here in Joel about the day of the Lord. Remember how I said this now, five distinct different times. So we're going to go through a series of verses of Scripture here for the rest of our broadcast. Take some notes, go ahead and write these verses down, because it's a good study for what it will be like when this earth goes through a time period and a time called the Day of the Lord. And what is that going to be like? What does it entail? Now, we're not going to do an in-depth study here in this, but what we are going to do is take some verses, take some time here and read these verses of Scripture and let you know that God has put up with this world and His people for so long. And, you know, it's been an up-and-down roller coaster ride for the children of Israel, for sure. And it has been in this world today, and we see how this world is getting worse and worse. And what is going to take place? Well, let's go ahead, and I'm going to begin in the book of Proverbs, chapter 16 and verse 4. You know, this does right here, I mean, I really want to, this is my way of introduction to this. The Bible says the Lord hath made all things for himself. So he has a right to do anything he wants to do. And it says, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Did you catch that? I mean, God has allowed the wicked. You ever wonder why in the world? You know, I mean, why does God allow people like that? I've heard people say that. I mean, the idea of it is, why does God allow people like that to live and all that? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Now, in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 11, we begin reading here, and I'm going to just go through, this is a whole series of verses of Scripture, and we're going to read this and just comment on some of these verses. But, you know, this is give you some kind of a detail about the day of the Lord. In Isaiah 2, 11, the lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And look at verse 12. For the day of the Lord, that's what the reference is. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon every one that is proud, lofty, and upon every one that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. What is lofty? Well, when you study the words, why, you know, that means proud. That means haughty. They're stuck on themselves. You know what? You know, you see these billboards. You see some of these ones that there's a certain group of people that put up this kind of stuff. You know, be proud. We're a proud people. Well, you better humble yourself under the hand of God, son, because I'm going to tell you one thing. God doesn't like the proud. And I mean, there's multitudes of verses of Scripture that deal with that. It's best just to humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Looky here, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 17 and 18, where the Scripture says, and the loftiness, why, there we go with that lofty looks, and remember that proud and haughty? the loftiness of man shall be bowed down. And one of these days, man's going to be really humbled by God himself. And the haughtiness of men shall be made low. And the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. Yeah, in the day of the Lord, God is going to be the one that gets exalted. When he's going to clean house with the whole earth. Amen. Verse 8, chapter 3, Isaiah. Chapter 3, verse 18. And in that day, the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their cauls and their round tires like a moon, like the moon. Why, do you know what that is? It's like the idea when we read this thing, why it has to do with ornaments, what people wear to decorate themselves. Why, first of all, the tinkling ornaments. Tinkling means a noise, a little sound. Some of the people's jewelry, you know, has to do with the idea of making a sound. As we continue on, why, it says here in that same verse, if you've seen that, it means, it says the cows, and then it says they're round tires. Now, you know, that's very interesting when we look at the idea of the round tires. What it means here is a turban or an ornament for the head, head tire. You see that in, and by the way, we can see the same word used in the King James Bible in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 30, as well as Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 17. Now, as we continue on, let's go now to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 11. It says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall set his hand against again the second time to recover the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria, from Egypt, from Pathros, from Cush, from Elam, from Shinar, and from Hamath, and from the islands of the sea." Now, when you study that, that right there obviously is, you know, these lands here are going to be, which are around. And by the way, Syria is involved, Egypt is involved, you have Iraq is involved with what we just read, and you can study that. And all those right there today are around Israel, and they are not favorable for Israel. You see, it's a funny thing how the Word of God is up to date with what is taking place. And brother, you want to know what the future holds? It's in the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 13, verse 6, "Howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty." Did you see that? Why, a destruction. What is destruction? Why, it's the idea to destroy, to demolish, to bring to naught. In Isaiah 13:9, it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel, both with wrath and fierce anger." Why, did you catch that? I mean, God's wrath. As a matter of fact, do you realize and understand that that the wrath will be poured out upon the nation of Israel as well as the whole earth? God's angry. Do you ever wonder about that? You know, do you ever think about why there is so much crime, there's so much sin in the world today? It's just like people are going wild with what they want to do. And it seems like You know what? Nobody gets punished for it. Oh, but they are. And oh, let me tell you what. Be not deceived. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Listen. One day, God's wrath will be poured out on this earth. And it says to lay the land desolate. What's desolate? It means to lay waste, to ruin. Think about that. Isaiah chapter 13, verse 13. Therefore will I shake the heavens, and the earth shall remove out of her place. Can you imagine the idea of this earth in which we trust our God to hold this earth in circuit? I mean, let me say this to you. I mean, just one little skosh away from the sun, we would freeze up. Just a skosh closer to the sun, why, guess what? We'll burn up. Or don't you have any common sense in that? I mean, the idea of it is that is absolutely study. And you know, the best thing for you to do is study the Word of God. But you know what? When you do look at the reality of things, I mean, buddy, God said here that the heavens and the earth shall remove out of her place. The earth shall remove out of her place. I'll shake the heavens. And in wrath, the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and in that day, the day of his fierce anger. Isaiah chapter 19, verse 16. In that day shall Egypt be like unto women. Oh, so here you go. Like it's becoming today, like the United States of Babylon. And it shall be afraid and fear because of the shaking of the land of the Lord of hosts, which he shakes. Let me say this to you. Do you realize, have you watched the videos of these earthquakes that is taking on today, in our day, right now? Have you looked at that? I mean, the buildings start shaking, things start shaking. What do the people do? They begin to take and run. Why? What's going on? What's the matter? Are you afraid? It says they'll run. In Ezekiel chapter 7 and verse 19, they shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. Why did you catch that? Why, just think about that. Why, when we study the book of Revelation, and as we get into the tribulation period, in Revelation in chapter 6, in verse 14, the scripture says, "And the heaven departed as a scroll, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freedman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Why, you know, that's the truth. You know, I mean, people today, they go around using God's holy name in vain. They go around and using it as a slang and so forth, and think they're real smart, you know, going around and big and bad, you know, saying or letting the filth fly out of their mouth and using God's holy name in vain. Well, one day, brother, they're going to really realize and understand what God can do. Amen, amen. In Ezekiel chapter 30, verse 3, "For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day. It shall be the time of the heathen." Why, who's the heathen? Why, those are the people there that deny God. Those are the ones that live the way they want to live. Why, nobody's going to tell me what to do. Oh, really? Well, what happens when God just picks you up by his little finger and cast you in a burning lake of fire forever and ever and ever, because you rejected his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as Savior? You see, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Why, let me tell you this. Jesus suffered and died for you on that cross. And why do you use God the date? You know what? Here it is, 2024 A.D. A.D., I mean, that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ and what happened on the cross, how he suffered and died and shed his blood to atone for the sins of the whole world, your sin, my sin, everybody's sin. In Amos chapter 5 and verse 18, the scripture says here, "Woe unto you that desire the day of the Lord! To what end is it for you? The day of the Lord is darkness and not light." Are you getting the fact about what the day of the Lord is? There is a day coming, and it's the day of the Lord when God's going to pour out his wrath upon this world. In Isaiah, or Amos chapter 5, verse 20, "Shall not the day of the Lord be darkness and not light? Even very dark, and no brightness in it." In Amos chapter 8 and verse 3, "And the songs of the temple shall be howlings." It won't be music. It won't be beautiful choirs and tuned voices and instruments on the stringed instruments singing praises unto the Lord. It says it'll be howlings in that day in the temple. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. Everywhere you look, there are going to be dead bodies. They shall cast them forth with silence. In Obadiah, in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8, "Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau?" In Obadiah chapter 1 and verse 15, "For the day of the Lord is nearer upon all of the heathen, as thou hast done. It shall be done unto thee. Thy reward shall return upon thine own head." Why, I quoted the verse, "Be sure your sin will find you out." That's out of the book of Numbers. "Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." Buddy, you want to sow to the flesh? You want to sin and do whatever you want to do and live like you want to live? Eat, drink, and be merry, for today we live, tomorrow we die. That's right, one day you will leave this world. And what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ will determine where you spend eternity. It says here in Micah chapter 5 and verse 10, "And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I will cut off the horses out of the midst of thee and will destroy thy chariots." Why, do you know what the horses in the Old Testament and the chariots represented? Why, that represented war. That was military gear. And you know what? You come on today and you see tanks and you see helicopters and you see the fighter jets and all this other thing. Those are just Tonka toys to God. And he can wipe every bit of that out. Every ship, every submarine, every nuclear bomb. Let me tell you something. God can wipe it all out in a heartbeat. Nahum chapter 1 verse 7. "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He knoweth them that trust in him." What is a stronghold, by the way? When you look up and study these words, a stronghold is a fortified place. It's a place of security. Did you notice why who the Lord is? He's the stronghold. Amen, amen. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 7, It says here, hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God. For the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice. He hath bid his guests. In verse 8, it shall come to pass in the day of the Lord's sacrifice that I will punish the princes. You see, those are the rulers. And the king's children. And all such that are clothed with strange apparel. Oh, you go around dressed up like a king. You go around dressed up in your crown and all your jewels and all that other thing. That don't mean nothing to God. Don't mean a thing. And one of these days, you see, that will take place. Now, what is strange? What's the definition? It means that which belongs to another country. In Zephaniah chapter 1 and verse 10, it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that there shall be the noise of a cry from the fish gate, and a howling from the second, and a great crashing from the hills. In Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14, the great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the mighty man shall cry bitterly. Oh, listen here. Those that are high and mighty, the rich, those that are high esteemed in the world, they're going to be brought low. They'll run to the hills. They'll run to the caves, just like the poor man, just like those that walk on the streets that don't have a place to live. It says in verse 18, Zephaniah chapter 1, neither their silver nor their gold shall be able to deliver them in the day of the Lord's wrath, but the whole land shall be devoured by the fire of his jealousy. For he shall make even a speedy riddance of all them that dwell in the land. In Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 2, before the decree bring forth, before the day pass as the chaff, before the fierce anger of the Lord come upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger come upon you. What's the chaff? Why, that's the husk of corn that is driven by the wind. It's worthless matter. In Scripture, when that word is used, it means false doctrine, fruitless design, hypocrites, and ungodly men. In Zephaniah chapter 2, verse 3, seek ye the Lord, all ye meek of the earth, which have wrought his judgment. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be ye shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. Oh, there's always an opportunity for repentance. And God knows the heart of men. Amen, he does. In Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 8, therefore wait ye upon me, saith the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them my indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all of the earth, it says here, shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy. What is indignation? That means extreme anger. In Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 4, in that day, saith the Lord, I will smite every horse with astonishment, and his rider with madness. I will open mine eyes upon the house of Judah, and will smite every horse of the people with blindness. You see, the idea of it is horses is in the Old Testament, is an animal of war. And the idea of it is that no matter what the warfare is, God is able to wipe it all out within just one swing, even his words. I'm going to tell you one thing. You know what? When we look up, and there's a whole lot more verses of Scripture, but you know what? In all sincerity, one of these days, why, you know, the day of the Lord is coming. It will be at the end of the tribulation period. Now listen here, you don't want to go through the seven-year tribulation period. I mean, the best thing for you to do is receive Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be saved. Be born again. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him. And I want to tell you one thing. It doesn't end there, because there's a great white throne judgment. And that's after the millennial reign. That's when every single soul will give an account of their life, of what they've done. And you know what? If their name, if your name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'll be cast into a burning lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And there'll be no escape. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." May God help you to see the truth.